I like serving because of how it grows my church family.
I like to serve because it helps me get a chance to use my talents to help serve Jesus.
I like to serve because I like people. I like dealing with people.
That's pretty awesome, isn't it? We like serving around here. And I just want to mention, you want to be here in 2 weeks because Jeff, who's our new discipleship pastor, he'll actually be preaching that Sunday. And I think you'll enjoy being able to hear him. But you know, there's a story that I've heard over and over again. And while the specific details might be a little bit different, the end result is almost always the same. And we have a group of servants here at ACC that are part of what we call our bakery team. And they've been given the task of using their baking skills, adding a little bit of hospitality, so that when we have new guests or new visitors who give us their information, hint, hint, these folks will make some delicious comfort food like brownies, chocolate chip cookies, banana bread, and they will deliver them right to our guests' homes. And you know, so many of the recipients of the bakery ministry, they've just commented on how much that really meant to them, how they felt really welcome and noticed. And I think people come to church for a lot of reasons. Obviously, people are curious about spiritual things. But I think also they come because they want to know, hey, do I really matter? Does anyone care? Could this be a place where I might be able to connect? And that simple yet significant act of service provides at least an initial affirming response to those questions. And that is just one of literally hundreds of serving spaces here at Academy Christian Church that allow us to be a place where hundreds of people can call this their church home. And so I want to say to you, if you're here today, if you've already found a place to serve, I hope it is and continues to be a source of joy and fulfillment in your life. Maybe if you're serving somewhere and it's kind of become more of a grind, less of a blessing, then this could be a great time for you to maybe explore another area of serving. And I want to say, if you've just been sitting on the sidelines, kind of just being a spectator, then this really might be a great time for you to actually get in the game. And so welcome to Academy Christian Church. So glad you're here today. We love having everyone here in person. We got a great bunch of folks that join us over at our Westside campus and several hundred that are usually joining us online every week as well. And every summer in July here at ACC, we take several weeks to provide as easily accessible of an on-ramp we can for people to be able to prayerfully consider where God might be calling them to serve. Because a church is only going to be effective in fulfilling its God-given purpose if as many people as possible are serving together within the body of Christ. Because just as our physical body, it works best when its parts are fully functioning as designed, so it is within the church, which God actually does identify as the body of Christ. Now, when it comes to the physical body, I actually learned that firsthand a number of years ago when I broke the humerus bone in my arm in a skiing accident. And no, there wasn't anything humorous about it at all. It was very painful. It was very inconvenient. And during those 6 weeks when I was recovering from it, I discovered God's incredible wisdom in designing us with two arms and with two hands because there are so many simple tasks that are difficult, if not impossible, to do just with one hand. Something as simple as maybe putting on your deodorant or tying your shoes. That's why for a long time after that, I only wore slip-on shoes because I didn't want to get caught out in public and say, hey, ma'am, hey, sir, could you tie my shoe? Because I can't tie my shoe. I didn't want to be able to do that. We know there's good reason why God created our bodies that way, and there's good reason why he called his people to come together as the body of Christ here on this earth in order to be not only the hands and the feet of Jesus, but the arms and the legs and the eyes and the ears as well. And we do this intentionally in the summer for a couple of reasons. One is because in some of our serving areas, specifically children and student ministry, there's actually background checks that are required, and that gives us time to be able to process them so that they can be ready to serve as new programs begin by the time school is fully back in session. And even though summer is a busy time, I think it's also a time when a lot of people are kind of catch their breath before school starts. And so hopefully they can consider serving before the craziness of the school schedule actually sets in. Now, since we do this every year, I'm sure there's some who are questioning, why? Why do they keep asking me to serve? Why would I ever actually want to do that? And you know, I've often told our church family that my task as a pastor, my responsibilities really are twofold. And one, of course, is to comfort the afflicted. That's a strong pastoral role. But I'm also called to sometimes afflict the comfortable. And so I want to let you know, this is going to be a little bit more of that, could be a little bit more painful than most. And honestly, what we're going to be discussing is a lot like feeling encouraged to eat right, to take your vitamins, to exercise. It's good for you, of course, but it doesn't feel very urgent sometimes. It's not on your radar, and maybe isn't all that appealing, at least you would think so. Well, the reality is, in order for us to have really an effective, efficient, and meaningful service on Sunday morning, as well as meaningful ministry during the week, it requires literally hundreds of people investing their time and talents in serving roles. Now, in a situation where we had enough financial resources, I mean, theoretically, you know, we could hire people to be the greeters and the ushers, to be part of the praise team and the praise band, to serve in children's ministry. We could hire folks to prepare and then serve communion and so forth. And in some areas, obviously, we have staff that we hire to devote themselves full time to administering and leading different various ministries. But I want you to imagine this morning walking into a church where everyone who greeted you were paid staff, and you find out that there's no volunteers at all because the work is all hired out, and so you can simply sit and be served. Now, that might sound good, but I think it sounds a little bit weird, not to mention unsustainable. Now, based on that thought, I think it would be easy for anybody here today to conclude that we just want you to serve so that we can simply function as a church. And on the surface, honestly, that's necessary. It's vital. However, there are some real deeper reasons why we encourage people here to serve. And this week, I'm going to be attempting to answer the biblical question, why do we ask you to serve? And what I'm hoping over the next few weeks is to help as many people as possible to be able to join a lot of other people around here who would say at Academy Christian Church, we like serving. And the reason I think I can authentically say that we like serving is because I believe for the most part, this church is filled with people who are not only very faithful in their serving, but who actually enjoy it. Now, the challenge today is that we actually need a lot more. Even though there's over 500 people at Northside and dozens over at our Westside campus, we could still use somewhere between 150 and 200 people more to step up and to step into serving somewhere. And so if you're just sitting there wondering to yourself, wow, do they really need me? Yes, we really do need you. And I'm hoping to convince as many as possible that we like serving because it's not just a win for any particular person. It's really win, win, win. Because when you serve, you win and others win and the kingdom of God, the church, wins. And so we're going to start today with the first win. And just a reminder this morning that serving is a win for you. It's a win for you. Now, the challenge is, from a purely human standpoint, that does not sound at all like a win, does it? In fact, it sounds like you're going to be giving something up, which sounds a little bit more like a loss than a win. And that's because there's something inside each one of us that tends to believe, we should be the top priority, first in line, making sure that we get everything we need. And you know what? I'm pretty sure that's at least part of the reason why when I'm done with my shopping at Trader Joe's, I immediately began searching for the shortest checkout line possible. Anybody relate to that? Because I don't want to waste my time waiting behind other people, which reveals a spiritual problem that I have. But so do you. Because we all have what the Bible says is a sinful nature. And in Galatians chapter 6, we actually get a long list of things that are included in that sinful nature. And it might be easy to gloss over this one, but you'll notice the one in verse 20 is selfish ambition. It's part of our sinful nature. And it's identified as one of those parts of our sinful nature because while it may appear to be in our own best interest, folks, it's ultimately detrimental. We're going to see that. And now all of us deal with it in one way or another. It's that get all you can for yourself mentality. And we all live with it in some way. I mean, for example, does anybody remember what Black Fridays were like years ago before all the online stuff? I remember. Remember the newspaper ads? They would come out, you'd get the paper. And we would sit down and literally design a strategy so that we could be at the right store at the right time to snag at least some of those doorbuster deals. Well, it'll be hard for me to forget a Black Friday a number of years ago when we happened to be in Viroqua, Wisconsin, which is my wife's hometown, over Thanksgiving, which meant we were there for Black Friday. Now, Viroqua is a really small town, and so Walmart was the only game in town. And so I was going to go, but I decided to avoid the long lines and the amazing deals on all the electronic stuff that I really wanted. And I went for something that I thought would be easier to snag. Are you ready? Bed sheets. But it was a great deal on bed sheets. And at a certain time, in a certain aisle, the bed sheets were on a pallet and they were all wrapped up. And at the right time, they pulled the plastic from the pallet and it was open season on sheets. Now, how many of you would think that bed sheets would be worth pushing and shoving people over? Well, they were that Black Friday in Viroqua, Wisconsin, where apparently there'd been a shortage on good sheet deals for a long time. And before I knew it, I was in the middle of a wrestling match with a bunch of dairy farmers' wives over bed sheets. Sadly, they were winning. But I stayed in. I did. Now, I just share that with you. Because honestly, that's part of what we're up against in convincing people that it's good for you to serve others. And as I'm attempting to convince you that serving is a win for you, I want to remind you that serving is not all about you, and we'll talk about that more. But I believe Satan would like you to believe that when you serve others, that you'll be giving up more than you will ever gain. That's what he wants you to believe. And you may have noticed that whenever you move somewhere to another place, we got some folks that's moving, getting ready to move here next week, we kind of leave behind a bit of ourselves in the last place we were. But you need to know that in order to become a long-term resident of a very cold and desolate place, it's Villas Las Estrellas, Antarctica, leaving behind a part of yourself is actually required. You see, with the nearest hospital 625 miles away, they know a person is going to be in serious trouble if their appendix would burst. And so every citizen has to first undergo an appendectomy before they can move there. Anybody signing up? Now, that sounds pretty drastic. But you know, actually, it is not as drastic as becoming a resident of God's kingdom. See, Jesus says that becoming a resident of his kingdom means being willing to let go of your life rather than holding on to it. And so we're going to be in Matthew chapter 16 today. And right before we're going to read, Jesus had made the statement to his disciples, if you want to follow me, you're going to have to take up your cross daily and follow me. And then these were the words that he said. He said, for whoever wants to save their life is actually going to lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will actually find it. What good would it be for someone to actually gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and he will reward to each person according to what they have done. Now, there was a missionary by the name of John Witte who told a story from his missionary days when he was in northeastern Uganda. And he talked about how the people there, even most recently, they had a flat earth worldview and how difficult it was for them to imagine a different reality from what they could actually see. Which honestly is a lot like us. We also can be influenced by how our culture tries to construct what we should think is normal, what's important, what's right or wrong. And like those people in Uganda, the world's ideas can become kind of a distorting lens through which we view our world, unless someone who knows more and has seen more can help us out. Well, you know that one of the things Jesus came to do was to help us live beyond the limitations of our culture's narratives about almost everything, including our faith, our relationships, how we use our time and our energy, how we make the most of our lives. And Jesus told us what he knew to be true about life that's beyond what you and I can see. And so Jesus wants to help us put selfish ambition in the proper perspective. And so, folks, if God not only recommends serving others, we could even say requires it. It must be because he understands how much it is going to benefit every one of us. You see, when Jesus said, "For whoever would save their life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it or find it," he's actually calling us to voluntarily give our lives away to his cause and for the benefit of others. Now, you got to recognize, back when Jesus said that, I don't think it would have made any sense to his disciples. They'd never seen that on anyone's list about how to make the most of your life. So Jesus continued explaining that when they give their life away, that was the key to making the most of their life. And he said, "Oh, life, if you lose it, you will find it." And the word "find" means to discover something of significant value. And so what is the best investment of our lives? Well, you know, according to Jesus, serving is not a demotion. And a lot of us think of that the lowest people are the ones that actually serve. Jesus actually said, though, that serving is a promotion. He said, that's how you go up. And in many other places, besides Matthew 23, he says things like this: "The greatest among you will be your" what? "Your servant." That's the greatest. And so let me just remind you today, I think we'd have to say it would be disingenuous for you to claim to be a follower of Christ and then try to say that serving isn't your thing. And the reason I would say that is because in Philippians chapter 2, here's what we read. It says, "In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ." Well, what kind of mindset did Jesus have? Well, he was up there at the top. I mean, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage for selfish ambition. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. And so I got to ask today, how authentic would it be for someone to say, "Hey, I know Jesus gave his all, but I don't think I'm going to be willing to give even some." And you will have to give. Let me be clear, serving others in the Spirit of Christ is going to require some sacrifice in your life. See, service does cost something. Time, energy, attention. You might have to reorder your schedule, your agenda, or your normal routine. And whenever you try to serve the needs, the messes, the stories of others, it's likely going to cause you to have to reshape your plans, maybe consume some of your calendar. But here's what I think Jesus would want you to understand. Serving adds value to your life. It adds value to your life. And I think we know that because Jesus said in Acts 20, "It is more blessed to give than it is to receive." So I want to look this morning at five areas where I think serving adds value to your life. And some of them are spiritual, some of them are just practical. And so I think we'd start at the beginning. It adds value to you physically. Do you know that serving has shown to reduce blood pressure, enhance immune responses, even improve your sleep quality? Could somebody use that? You know, people who serve regularly are shown to have actually a reduced risk of mortality, especially when their service is motivated by genuine care, which a Christ follower should be, and not obligation. It's like the individual who served on a greeting team at church, and they said, "Every Sunday, I welcome people with a smile and a handshake, and I've noticed that I sleep better, and I feel more energized than I did when I was sitting on the sidelines." So it adds value physically. It also adds value, you know, mentally. Serving has been linked to better memory and mental clarity, helping to regulate stress hormones like like cortisol. You know, meaningful involvement in something of greater purpose can actually help slow cognitive decline. See? At my age, that's a big deal. And probably the best example that I've seen of that is our own Dick Crabtree, who, when he retired from this church, he stayed around and he stayed involved. This morning he was in church, and he's 97 years old and sharp as a tack. And it's like someone who decided to serve by leading a Bible study. And they said, you know what, teaching has actually helped me understand the Bible more deeply than I ever did just by listening to sermons. And that is entirely true. It also will add value to you emotionally. Studies have shown that serving often leads to greater happiness, lower depression, increased life satisfaction. That's probably what the proverb writer was talking about in Proverbs 11. It says, a generous person will prosper, and whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. It's kind of like the individual who said, you know, I used to struggle with depression until I started serving at a food pantry. And now helping others has given me purpose again. It also is going to add value to you spiritually. It'll grow you, because I think you're actually never more like Christ than when you're serving. And we know that because in Mark 10, we're told, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to actually serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And when you serve, you're going to grow spiritually, like the individual who said, hey, I've been walking with a teen through their faith journey, and it has forced me to pray more and to read more and to trust God more than I ever have before. But based on what we just read in Matthew 16, I want to remind you today that serving actually adds value to your life eternally. And we should never forget this. See, serving others shifts your focus from yourself, hopefully onto eternal impact. That gives you really a powerful sense of transcendence. And when I say transcendence, that's just a recognition that you can outlive your life here on this earth because what you do here matters for eternity. Jesus asked, what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? He said it's possible to gain the whole world, to become fabulously successful in this life, and still forfeit your soul. And the word forfeit actually means to suffer loss or to sustain damage. And so Jesus is saying it's possible to live in a way that looks like you're having a huge gains, you're making huge gains, only to find at the end of your life that you've actually sustained significant loss. In other words, Jesus is saying, don't fall into our culture's narrative that's limited to just what you see here on this earth. In verse 27, Jesus reminds us, for the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he'll repay each person according to what they have done. And that's actually a reference to what's known as the judgment seat of Christ, where those who've already trusted Christ for eternal life, because we can't earn that, remember, but we're going to be evaluated, they're going to be evaluated on how they live this life. And it was then that Jesus said it would be decided whether or not you made the most of your life. And so the judgment seat of Christ is, folks, it's an afterlife reality that needs to actually inform and shape and develop how we choose to live our lives here on this earth. It makes a difference. When I read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it always kind of makes me think, Brian, how are you doing? Because there Paul writes and he says, but each one should build with care. And he's talking about how you're building your life. He said, no one can lay a foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's the foundation of our salvation. But then he says, if anyone builds on this foundation, and then he talks about three really good things to build with and three not so good things to build with. If anyone builds using gold or silver or costly stones, or wood, or hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because it will bring the day, because the day will bring it to light. And it says it will be revealed with fire, and so you can tell why those second categories are not very good. The fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it's burned up, the builder's going to suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. I mean, you'll get in. But in other words, he's saying how you live your life will decide whether you arrive in heaven smelling like smoke or not. How do you want to get in? There was a pastor. I love his last name. It's C.T. Studd. He was such a stud pastor. And he made this statement. He said, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ is going to last. And Jesus, I think, made that pretty clear in Matthew chapter 10. He said, if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, I tell you the truth, that person will certainly not lose their reward. I hope you, what you'd hear today is the fact that when you serve others, you trade what doesn't last for what can't be taken away. And see, I trust Jesus when he says in John 12, my Father will honor the one who serves me. And I just want to close with a statement made by Jim Elliot, a missionary who gave his life trying to reach some people in Central America. He just said it so well. He said, he is no fool who gives away what he can't keep in order to gain what he can't lose. And so as we wrap up today, I want to get practical. I want to get practical. And I'd like you to get a little bit proactive. Don't just sit there. And so let me just explain some next steps. In your program today, you can find this blue insert. You can take that out. And really, it's a list of all the places that you could serve here. And I got to say, regardless of how old you are, because we got a lot of young people, teenagers, young adults that are serving, so this doesn't leave anybody out. There's a place for everybody, any age, any stage in life. And if you would like some more information, there's a QR code up in the corner. That will take you to the serving pages on our website, and you can find out more information. But as you're filling this out, we've had times where people like them mark 10 different things they want to serve on, and then we don't know even where to start with them. So I would just say pick one or two that you think, you know, I might be interested in that. And you can drop it off at the Connection Center. You can drop it at where the Connection Card thing is in the back. You can mail it in if you want. But over the next few weeks, we'd encourage you to bring that in. Obviously, out in the foyer here, our ministries have set up tables. There's more information. They might even be there to be able to answer some questions, but I encourage you to do that. And I want to just remind, if you're new here or you haven't been here very long, there are plenty of places where you can jump in and serve, and you don't have to be a member at all. You can just want to call this place a place where you'd like to serve, or we're thinking about being your church home, and it'll get you connected. And a lot of times when we think about serving God, I know that's true of me, we think, oh, I got to do something great for God. And I'll leave you with the thought I left you with a couple of weeks ago. And instead of thinking you need to do something great for God, could you just do something for a great God? Because here's what Jesus has made clear to me. You won't regret it, and God will never forget it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the honesty, the clarity of Jesus' words. I pray that it could get through to our hearts today. Because we're kind of stuck in a physical, earthly, temporal world. And that seems to be the most important thing going. And we can lose track of that which is eternal. And Father, I'm so thankful for already the hundreds of people that serve here at ACC and their faithfulness, their joy, and their serving. But Father, I know sitting in the chairs today, there's some folks that could step in, need to step in, and find a place to serve, because it's not only a benefit to them, but it will bless others and bless your kingdom and result in really just eternal dividends. And so God, help our hearts to be in the right place. It's not really about us, but it depends on us. So I pray that you'd help us to lean in to what Jesus has said, and to really become the servants that you would want us to be. We ask and pray all that today in Jesus' name.